Well, I love it, Philip. I just love it first night in Louisiana, you went to the Blue Moon Club, and you remember the exact date. So this has been a long thread in your life.
I had to look back on the calendar, but you know, I remember it was a Saturday, and I remember going in there, and there were several things that the first of all, this is not the Blue Moon that we all know in Lafayette. This is an old club, the Blue Moon Club in New Iberia, little Cajun neighborhood at the edge of town called Ticoto. And I'd walk in. We walked in there, and the Aldous Mouton, the accordion player leading playing for them, would do rapid fire Cajun French between songs. And he had all during his songs, you'd watch these waltzes, and it was like a sea of bobbing heads. It was this most beautiful sight, and you just look above it, and it was like watching a gentle ocean. And that was amazing. The other thing that was amazing for somebody from California was that the security. A sheriff's deputy and an off-duty policeman were helping the waitresses serve, bring drinks to the tables. And that was bizarre for me. And only after a while did I understand the Louisiana logic at play here, and that was that there were no fights. Things were quiet. People were well-behaved. The least they could do was help the overworked wait staff by bring drinks to these tables and everything. So it was kind of a early introduction into how logic here is not one logical,
right?
You know, and not you know, not in a straight line. There's always a twisted sense of it, but the logic plays out if you just keep your mind open to it.
Now, I'll be looking forward to your next book, Louisiana Logic, Philip. So we'll see how that comes along.
Yeah, that'd be a hard book to photograph,
wouldn't
actually.
That be?
Yeah. Now, thank you. To Herman's point about paradise, Slim's has a South Sea tropical island motif painted on all the walls. It opened in 1947, and I think it was attracting to all the people who served overseas during World War II, that this was – somehow they had romanticized this experience down there out in these islands. And so he painted those islands on the walls. And he is not the only one. Several places in South Louisiana did the same thing. So it's kind of an interesting phenomenon that's still with us.
And some of these places have passed on into a kind of immortality in the music. I mean, Slim's Waikiki is mentioned in several songs. I think of Bojack singing about Richard's Club, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So they've meshed in that kind of wonderful way. One of the things I was very moved by was Sean Ardoin on talking about Walker's Thibodeau Hall in Lake Charles when he said, "I still feel it when I pass by there. I still miss it, but I'll never forget it."
Well, and right now that's what he has is his memory, as everyone else there, because the building is gone. It's no longer there. It's like it never happened, except we all know that it did. And Sean is also very eloquent in his remembrances of places like that, in the Shriners Habibi Temple, where they had a lot of dances, and different places in Lake Charles. So, yeah, again, a very specific perspective that broadens our understanding of these places.
Yes, Susan, so many of these places only exist now in people's heads. They just have memories of times that were before. And a few of these places, we got to them as the places were being torn down, with Sean Ardoin, his memories of Thibodeau's Hall and Lake Charles. We photographed it on the Sunday as the bricks were being stripped off the building. Philip, you went back, a week later?
Next day
and got in the place. But then it was gone, a week later. It was completely torn down.
Oh, wow. Lucky for us. You make the point that so much has been lost to the casino culture of South Louisiana. That was, you know, one of the driving things in the fall of many of these places.
Yeah, you talk to many of these club owners, particularly I remember Marie Bork, interviewing her through the years about Bork's Club. And even now, El Cito's Zydeco and Blues Club, Sid Williams, the place is still open here in Lafayette. But they in particular said casino gambling really hurt their business because, you know, casinos can pay bands more and they don't have to play as long. And, you know, everybody thinks they're going to strike it rich at a casino. So a dance hall can't offer that promise, so to speak. So it's really cut into a lot of their business and the ones that are still open can still feel it.
Well, in the good time section, both of you capture the life that still continues in places like Fred's and Mamou, where you can have the best Saturday morning dancing in Louisiana anywhere.
That's not an understatement. That's very true.
But, you know, so it does go on. And so I wonder, what are the places you like the best? Where do you two go?
Well, the place we just went recently was Whiskey River Landing in Henderson, which is just as it sounds. It's in Henderson, Louisiana, on the levee of the Atchafalaya Basin. You have to ride down this road along the levee, actually cross over the levee, and there's the club. Just about every Sunday afternoon from 4 to 8, there's a dance, usually Gino Delafosse, maybe Jamie Bergeron. It's an old wooden-style dance hall, but behind the bandstand is a wide window pane, so you have this gorgeous view of the basin with this music playing right in front of you, and it's really a special place, one of a kind place, still going strong.
What about you, Philip?
Well, I'm partial to Whiskey River myself. I also like La Poussière, and let me see what else. I like places like the New Blue Moon. I like some of the restaurants where they have music. Mm-hmm. But La Poussière, I liked especially because it's got it's a long, narrow building. It has, I think, a dance floor that in terms of waltzing, it has a racetrack quality to it because it's a good quarter mile if you go walk all the way around the dance floor. And it's just really sweet. And it's one of the smoothest floors you'll ever see. And it's the real thing. These are for the most part, very classic Cajun bands that go in there and honor that tradition that place represented for countless decades. Walter Mouton and the Scott Playboys played there for 40 years, I think, every Saturday night and set the tone for La Poussière's legacy. The story about La Poussière as well is that it was hit by a tornado several years back, and Lawrence Potan, the owner, you know, it was tired. He said, okay, that's enough. I'm done. Well, maybe not. All the Cajun musicians and all the fans and all the customers said, look, this is very important. Please reconsider. We'll help you. You won't have to pay a dime to fix this place back up. We'll be here in force. And he said, okay. And it was like a new breath of life because the place has been doing quite well since then. People recognize it and appreciate it for what it has been and what it promises to be. You know, there are places that along the Mississippi River, for example, there's a place near Vacherie, which is just a hall that was a community hall that was served in a lot of ways the halls at New Orleans Social Aid and Pleasure Clubs would do. I mean, it was for community support and service, funerals, you name it, weddings. And so it was an invaluable place. And it's just a very simple building, but it is beautiful. And up in Baton Rouge, on the west bank of Baton Rouge, there are all kinds of honky-tonks. They called it the Gold Coast. Mm-hmm. And, a whole lot went on there, mostly after midnight. And I drove by there one time, and I saw this one place. And I could see this building that was being swallowed up by these vines and plants and stuff, but I could still see the martini glass with a neon component to it. And, when she eventually went back and photographed it, it was just – you couldn't not include that. It was just too important.